This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We've all heard the negative stereotypes of inner-city Milwaukee as a place in crisis. Violent crime, high rates of foreclosures, problems with drugs are all often linked with the city. While there are unquestionably problems facing our communities, those issues don't tell the full story, and that's where LISC Milwaukee comes in. The local chapter of the national group, the Local Initiative Support Corporation, wants to break down those perceptions and help revitalize distressed neighborhoods. By bringing together community partners and taking key policymakers on tours through the five communities they work in, LISC is showing off what's to love about Milwaukee. Christopher Boston is Director of Sustainable Communities for LISC Milwaukee. Dawn Hutchison Weiss is Director of Communications there, and they tell Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce more about what they're doing.
I think there is a significant misperception about what's going on in the city, who lives in the city, what kind of people, what kind of neighborhoods, what kind of families, what kind of businesses are operating here. And I have to quote my boss. He says, you know, I think a lot of people believe, you know, Milwaukee is a cesspool of decay and despair, and it's really not the case. And I think that our work is moving more and more into helping to educate people about, you know, the real people who are working hard every day to improve the quality of life in their neighborhoods. And I know we've been doing a lot of bus tours and a lot of outreach. We've been developing an honorary board because the truth is that for Milwaukee to succeed, we need the investment of the broader Southeast region and the state, really. We're doing more and more to help educate legislators and thought leaders outside of the city and, you know, ask them to invest, ask them to advocate, and just to get to know what's really happening here.
What are some of the examples that you highlight in these bus tours and the outreach work that you do that's really changing perceptions?
I would say we confront them. We just confront them. And the best way to confront them is to get people on a bus, to get them in the neighborhood, and to get them in front of the individuals who are working to transform these places. Then I think they get a sense of really what's taking place, and they understand. The individuals in those neighborhoods want the same things they want. They want safer streets. They want better schools. They want homes that reflect the kind of lifestyle that they'd like to live. Then I think you can see in some instances a light bulb go off in their mind where they're like, wow. Sometimes they say things like, I never knew all of these things were happening in this neighborhood. I mean, how many places can you go, like Lindsay Heights neighborhood, where you have the largest peach orchard in the state of Wisconsin and then the best corned beef all within one block? You can't go to a neighborhood like Clark Square that has the asset of the Mitchell Park domes, but then also in that same park is where you have some really extensive youth programming and one of the largest elementary schools in the state of Wisconsin at Henry Longfellow School. You know, what about going to a place like Washington Park? You know, a lot of times people don't recognize that the park itself within Washington Park is actually where we used to have our zoo. A lot of people don't recognize that the park that was designed in Washington Park was designed by Frederick Law Olmsted, who also designed Central Park. You have two of Milwaukee's oldest anchors in Miller Brewing Company and Harley Davidson located really within that neighborhood. And if you get to these places, you'll see all that's taking place in these neighborhoods that really speak to what we can be in this city.
So how do you walk that line between not wanting to gloss over the realities of the challenges these neighborhoods may be facing with highlighting the positive stories that are going on there?
So let me just reference a couple of different things. You know, one, I come out of a community organizing tradition, and there's a thought in community organizing tradition which speaks to the world as it is and the world as it should be. And it's sort of founded on a theological perspective that speaks of the already and the not yet. In many ways, our neighborhoods and our cities are in between those places, the world as it is and the world as it should be, the already and the not yet. We already have talented individuals who live in these neighborhoods, compassionate individuals who look out for one another as residents, and passionate individuals who lead with the perspective to change and transform these neighborhoods. But, you know, they're not yet what they should be. There's still issues of crime and violence in the neighborhoods in some instances. There's still issues of large amounts of unemployment within the neighborhoods. And in some instances, there are issues where there's some hopelessness that exists within these neighborhoods. But what we've experienced is that the compassion that the leaders have who work to address the issues in these neighborhoods far exceeds the challenges that these neighborhoods present?
LISC's work focuses on trying to build the infrastructure of a neighborhood to better support itself. And so I think in the tours and when we talk to people, we try to highlight that aspect of the work. You know, the fundamental work that we do with each of our neighborhoods is to help them develop a quality of life plan, which takes anywhere from 6 months to a year to develop. And it's a process of bringing residents together, sharing their hopes, their aspirations, their challenges. And a lot of very serious issues come out at these meetings, obviously. And so that process of helping a neighborhood organize itself and come up with a common set of priorities that they can agree upon and putting it to paper and creating a very specific plan for their future is very powerful. And they use that as a roadmap for investment and buy-in and engagement in their neighborhood. A lot of the work that we do is also around making connections because, you know, we're working in some of the most disenfranchised communities, you know, in our city, but in some ways in the country. So, and part of that characteristic of some of these neighborhoods is a lack of connection to resources and assets and technical support. So LISC is really uniquely positioned because we have very strong relationships with lenders and the private sector and the city of Milwaukee, as well as with community leaders. So we can play a really unique role in helping, you know, investors connect up with projects that are really going to make a big difference in driving change in the neighborhoods, and then also helping the neighborhood partners connect up with resources to fulfill their, you know, dreams and plans.
As we quote our executive director, Leo Reese, he likes to describe our work as convening but not controlling. We'd like to set the table and bring people to the table. But what gets put on the table is determined by them. There are individuals who are in the kitchen who we think are much better cooks and much better chefs than we are. And the things that they put on the table we think are going to be much better if they do it than versus we do it. But we do feel like that it's our responsibility to set the table.
Well, so tell us about some of the successes that you've had. Where have you seen some of these connections been made, and where have you been able to really change minds?
Well, we can go over a series of examples. One, again, in Washington Park in that neighborhood. The lead agency in that neighborhood is United Methodist Children's Services, an organization that's been around for 40 years providing resources to women and children, particularly women who are aging out of foster care. You know, as we began to engage them in conversation, we learned that they had a desire and aspiration to do much more than what they were doing, which was great work. They had transformed the lives of thousands of young women within this area, within this city. But they really began to see that their work was fundamentally, they were really working for something bigger. As they talked to us, we began to really assess what it is they really wanted to do. And from that standpoint, they went from being, you know, a social service provider in the neighborhood to a provider of affordable housing in the neighborhood and supportive housing for those same women who were transitioning out of foster care and transitioning out of their transitional living into more permanent housing. And so they were able to acquire land within that neighborhood, demolish some homes, and then build scattered site townhomes within the neighborhood. And then they had three apartment development projects within that neighborhood. And if you look in that neighborhood now, you can see the change that takes place really speaks to the neighborhood's aspirations and really its future. And that all happened based on a conversation. And so you begin to connect the dots. And then with that, you begin to see other people investing within the neighborhood. In the next couple of years, you're going to see a new clinic within that neighborhood by Progressive Health Centers. You're also going to see increased investment from other institutions. Habitat for Humanity is going to build 120 new homes within that neighborhood in the next 3 to 5 years. And so that transformation takes place all by one conversation. And then as you bring people together, you begin to see these changes take place in real tangible ways.
You know, we've been working with Washington Park neighborhood for about 7 years. And if you ask residents in that neighborhood, they say that they can feel a difference. You know, they feel like there's forward momentum. And Habitat for Humanity chose to announce this, you know, $20 million commitment to that neighborhood very specifically because that neighborhood is well organized now.
I would imagine, though, that there are occasionally setbacks. How do you make sure that the message you're trying to get out and these connections you're trying to build continue in the face of a setback?
The individuals who are working in the neighborhoods where we work recover very effectively and in some ways very quickly. And one example we have is an incident of violence that happened in May of this year. It was about 2.5 weeks after we celebrated the release of our new community safety initiative and our partnership with the Milwaukee Police Department in Washington Park itself, with a lot of fanfare and media coverage. And just 2.5 weeks later, in an area that had been revitalized to be a new play space for young people in the northern part of the neighborhood, there was a homicide. But what happened was an immediate response, not to say this is just something that we have to deal with, but to say we understand that this is a challenge, but the neighborhood is still growing. We understand that this is a challenge, but the Milwaukee Police Department is working with individuals on the ground to deal with the challenge that this issue presents, and also to understand the context of the matter. And that is, while that neighborhood still had some challenges in terms of crime and some violence, that the Milwaukee Police Department had been working very effectively to pinpoint the issues of violence. And really, their data speaks to that there's a small subset of criminal actors within the neighborhood that are doing most of that criminal activity. And if they could focus their efforts on those individuals, the rest of the neighborhood that wants it to be a safer place can work towards that goal. The point is, we're working together to change perceptions, because we understand that a story like this can really do a lot of damage to the overall progress of an initiative. But if we continue to focus on the growth, the evolution, and the hope that exists within the neighborhood, then we think that we can do great things to change perceptions and really get people to understand that these are vibrant places and spaces that have a whole lot of rhythm.
It seems so simple, but it's almost like the lengths that a conversation alone can go, that engaging and talking with people can have such an impact in and of itself.
I think that's sometimes why our work is hard to explain, because a lot of the work that we do has to do with building relationships. And I know, to quote Leo again, we're going to give him a big head, but you know, when things get tough, sometimes in relationships that we're working with internally, you know, he'll say that is the work. That is the work of, that we're doing. It's to try and build bridges across groups and people and build collaboration and build understanding.
Milwaukee's neighborhoods are a treasure chest of hope, activity, assets, information, and just wonderful people. And I think that as we continue to look at all that's happening within our neighborhoods and find ways to connect these neighborhoods with the broader economic agenda, I think in the end, we will have a much better product and we'll have a much stronger narrative as we look back on all the work that took place to transform our city. The individuals that work in the neighborhoods where we are working and are tremendous individuals. Individuals who will not leave no matter how tough it gets. They will continue to roll up their sleeves and fight for change and fight for transformation and fight for the residents that are in their neighborhood. And that, I think, is special. It really is one of the things that keeps us going on a daily basis, is because they won't quit. And because they won't quit, we can't quit. There's a lot to do. Cities are very complex systems. You know, the change that we seek will not take place overnight. There's no silver bullet. There's no easy solution. It will take a lot of work, but it will take all of us working together in order to lift our city.
Christopher Boston and Dawn Hutchinson-Weiss, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about LISC Milwaukee.
Thanks for having us, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Christopher Boston is Director of Sustainable Communities for LISC Milwaukee. Dawn Hutchinson-Weiss is Director of Communications. They spoke with Stephanie Lecce. You can find out more about the group's second annual community development symposium called Whole Neighborhoods, One Milwaukee, scheduled for this Saturday from a link at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Photographer William Zubik explores the complex issue of our identity in a new exhibit opening this week. We'll learn more after a break on Lake Effect from WUWM.